Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hey Nonprofits Raise More Money. I'm Trevor Nelson, HGA Fundraising. Thanks so much for joining us. We've got a really awesome episode to share with y'all. Chase Harmer is the CEO and founder of Wishes.Inc. Their aim is to revolutionize payment processing for nonprofits receiving donations. He has an extensive background in the for-profit world. I love the story because it sounds very similar, where he just realized, of course, that there were some discrepancies in payment processing or just a more efficient and better way to do things, which I love when that injection of talent hits our space. Chase mentions a number of really amazing nuggets in this episode, and also one that really sticks out to me, $2 trillion in donations in the U.S. alone annually. $2 trillion. Chew on that for a second. If you get any value out of this episode or any others, do us a favor. Share it with someone in your network. Share it with a friend, someone that gets some value out of themselves that might be in the nonprofit space, or just someone that would like some good listening and some fun interaction. Chase and I have a great conversation. I hope you all enjoy it. Bailey, do me a favor. Hit the music. Talk to me about what you all are doing with Wishes. Talk to me about what you're doing for nonprofits and kind of give me the origin story for Wishes and let's riff about it.
My backstory is I've been in payments for about 26 years. I've been doing it ever since I was a young adult. So 19 years old, I started the payments. Really kind of just started innovating payment technology in 2014, building technology and doing different things. And I was one of the pioneers inside of virtual credit card issuing. Mm-hmm. Virtual credit card issuing is a complicated space, but you're probably familiar with it with like Apple Pay. They use virtual credit cards. You know, when you make a, when you send someone a payment or you accept a payment through Apple Pay, it's actually a commercial credit card that's exchanging that money on the back end. That was sure. Actually my first
patent. That makes sense.
Credit card issuing was what Apple Card's doing today. I did that back in 2016.
Oh, cool.
Essentially, I spent 11 years building that type of technology for e-commerce merchants. And essentially, because every purchase was a sale before that. So making, like if you think about just a quick background, but if you think about Expedia, this is like a real world example. Expedia is not they're not the airline and they're not the hotel. Well, how do you make a reservation in real time, right? What actually happens is you pay Expedia, they actually turn that into a virtual credit card, and then they pay the hotel, and they pay the airline. That's how it actually gets booked in real time. And then there's different sets of interchange arbitrage that happens on the back end, which allows Expedia to make additional money on those transactions too. But essentially, that is the every sale was a purchase kind of theory, right? After I got done, I realized I started making donations to charities and nonprofits more consistently. But as a person that didn't have time but had the money, I never really understood the impact that I was making. Almost 100% of nonprofits don't really have the ability to show the impact that they're making with the money that comes in, dollar to dollar. It's almost impossible, and most of them struggle with that. So, you know, I was getting really tired of every grocery store asking me for a dollar and not understanding what happens to the dollar. And then them claiming the tax benefit later when literally they spent $0 and probably 10,000 people spent, you know, $10,000 and change to make those donations a thing. And so I really wanted to understand the impact. I always wanted to understand what was happening to the money. And my thesis was if I could fix this problem, then people would donate more and more often. And so really what we did is, if you think about GoFundMe, right? And I use this as an example because it's kind of what I built the mechanism off, because they're the 800-pound gorilla in the person-to-person charitable giving space, but they also had charities. They couldn't solve that problem. But people ask for things, right? I need help with, I broke my leg. I need help with my kid's sick. I need food for my family. I need to get back and forth to work. Well, those are category specific things. I need specific things. That's the problem with GoFundMe, is that number one, you don't get a charitable tax donation credit, right? So when you donate, it's a thing with the IRS. You can't actually donate to a person and actually get a tax write-off. There, however, there's a way around that. The other thing is that when it goes to their bank account, they can do whatever they want with it. You never actually know what happens to the money. And in fact, if there was really a sick person or something like that, you'd love to understand, like, that this person really got the help that they needed. You know, and especially if you look at the Maui fires and things like that, people needed to get off the island. They needed to stay in a place. They get their house burned down. So what I did is it's coming from the payment space. I basically built a public 501c3 charity. Okay. There's a public 501c3 charity called Founder SaaS Society. Then we have our fintech, right? And they're basically through an exclusive partnership. Now, our 501c3 owns 10 LLCs. And the reason why I did that is they're all specifically categorized for the bonus categories on your credit card. So if you think about when you actually buy a hotel room, does your credit card give you additional points for that typically? Do they give you rewards?
There's exactly. Always those offers.
So there's basically probably 10, 20 bonus categories that are all consistently the same. There's travel, food related. So on the front side, people can ask for specifically what they want. They say, hey, I need help with, and we'll use Maui as an example. I need help with my house burned down. I need to stay in a hotel tonight, right? Or I need to get off the island. I need to fly back to California where my family is, right? You could actually buy someone an airplane ticket or buy them groceries, or you can buy them a hotel. You get the tax, you get the cash incentives, the rebates, the cash back incentives from your own credit card. You get the tax back, you get the tax deductible event. Because it goes through our 501c3 charity. Our 501c3 charity then turns that into a virtual credit card. That virtual credit card gets issued to the Apple and Google wallet directly to that person, charity, or cause, or crisis. They can use that in less than 24 hours. And the donor can always understand what happens to the money. So when that person, that family, that charity, or crisis actually that causes rallied around getting people food or doing a food drive or doing something, you can always understand that they're buying that, where they're spending that money, how they're spending that money, exactly when they're spending that money, and always understand the impact your donation makes. So really, for our platform is really designed to solve the problem for charities. Hey, it's hard to raise money, and it's hard to raise money in this world right now. Why? Because donors are skeptical. We don't believe that you're going to be spending all this on impact. If we can't see it, we don't believe it, right? And that's just coming from a donor talking.
Yeah.
You know, and so it becomes really hard for, especially for new nonprofits to go out and raise money because no one believes you because you haven't done anything. You know, you have no proof. And so people want to understand where the money's going, how it's being utilized. And if they understand that, they'll give more and more often, just like I would as a donor. And I think most people are the same way. 100%. So our platform really kind of opens up the blanket of transparency and then allows donors to understand where they're going.
Yeah, I love it. They say that necessity is the mother of invention. You realize that there is a necessity for some transparency, right? With your own giving, you know, experience. Sure. And what have you. What's interesting, we can go in so many different directions, Chase. Wow, that's really, really awesome and insightful. I hope a lot of folks really, you know, were able to, you did a very eloquent job of unpacking all the virtual credit card. It sounded almost like a smart contract, well, right?
What's the thing about smart contracts? Smart contracts are, it creates ledgers on both sides of the transaction. What does a credit card do?
The same, I'm assuming, yeah.
100%. You know, MasterCard and Visa have been using smart contracts for 50 years.
Yeah, exactly. Just tie to different currencies. Yeah,
exactly. And so, you know, but it's something that we all utilize on a day-to-day basis. Everyone goes to the grocery store and uses their phone to make a purchase. What's the difference about getting your money and actually spending it that way? I mean, there is no difference. It's the same exact way that you do business today. And so we didn't want to change the behavior of people.
People would be more scared if the mechanics change, they'd be more scared off, right? Correct? Because you're talking about like some trepidation that folks have to give. Yeah.
Right. Right. So this doesn't change the mechanics of how you accept or spend. I mean, actually it's the same exact way that you do it today, except, you know, now our platform wants to be seen as the like a certified trust, no matter where you're going to give, apples to apples. If you're going to give to the Red Cross, you're going to give to any charity, anywhere, and if it's not going to cost you anything, you're going to understand exactly what happens to your money every time and earn rewards and tax incentives. Apples to apples, you know, to me, there's no reason why you would utilize any other platform.
I totally get it. You spoke about a couple things that are actually very, because we spend every single day talking to nonprofits directly, big and small, all across the nation. You brought up a couple of really, really fascinating points and topics that we cover once again daily, where of course, we talk about transparency. That's kind of a buzz term. That's obvious, right? The honesty side of it and all that good stuff and seeing, you know, what the work that the charity is doing. But you know, we constantly tell folks that donors are consumers. And I say that to so folks don't overthink it. You know what I mean? It's like donors are consumers at the end of the day. You kind of identified that just now. But what they are, and I'm actually taking this from another guest that we had, a gentleman said something very, very impactful to me the other day where he said, well, donors are actually investors and they want to see where their investment is going. And it sounds like that's exactly what you were describing. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, in for the nonprofit, we also have a different programs in the back end that allow them to connect their bank account. Because we know that as a business, you have real costs. We have real people costs. You have real, you know, overhead costs if you're doing real things.
Well, nonprofit, so, that's just a tax designation. You still got to make payroll. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, but I think, but that's from a donor's perspective. You know, what we're really, and this is as a donor, I, my donor hat on, is like, what I really want to know is what's going to impact and what's going to admin, right? Like, if I knew that up front and you were raising specific buck, and we knew that your nonprofit was specifically, in order to do what you're doing, had certain expenses, and we as a donor knew that, like, then that's no fine. Problem. It's, yeah. It's the fact that we don't know that, you know?
Yeah. No, learning those things and it should be common sense that folks would just be, okay, that makes a lot of sense. That's where those dollars are going. And it takes people to right. run this operation and to serve the constituents and the folks that they're helping and whatnot, you know, on the street or what have you, regardless of what the nonprofit, you know, mission is. Totally. I think yeah. it's really, really cool. I had a couple questions, Chase. One would be, just give me a step-by-step how you take charity XYZ and get them in the fold with Wishes. How you handle it, and you know, peer-to-peer giving maybe, or like, you know, it's going to be a hot topic, end of the year giving, things like that. So how are you, I mean, you take charity XYZ, get them into the fold, set them up, obviously, you know, get their account set up and all that good stuff. Kind of just give me a step-by-step, if you don't mind, a synopsis.
Yeah. So essentially they come in and just create story. They would create a story for their nonprofit. First of all, when they come into the boarding process, we validate their information against candidates. So we ensure that they are a real nonprofit that, and once that's all validated, which we do in real time, they can finish creating their story. They create a video, a message. They can outline I call them buckets that they're raising money for, whether that's because there's four main buckets. It's, you know, services, emergency, life essentials. And I can't think of the other one right now. Well, it's four main bucket, but underneath those buckets are all the different potential categories that people can raise money for, right? Some of those are just admin type expenses, but they basically put all that on there and people can donate directly onto the platform. And the difference really is if you utilize a platform like Facebook today to raise money for your charity or a nonprofit, it takes 3 months to get your money, really. It's they don't give it every
really?
90 days. They give.
Oh, I was unaware of that. Wow.
Instagram is every 45 days and GoFundMe, there was every 10 days. So through our platform, it's all 24 hours. So essentially we do all our validation instantly because you talk about the end of the year giving too. So we're actually a wallet as well. So we almost work like a DAF does where people can actually just push their money into there. And the reason why we did that was for crisis related type things. Think about like Maui. You don't want to deploy money. You don't want to think, okay, I got to get this money over there. You can actually push money into a wallet. It just sits there. And then when you're ready to deploy that capital, like there's a crisis that happens, you want to really make an impact. You can actually instantly deliver that money in real time at a moment's notice, but you get the tax write-off immediately. So as soon as you, because it goes through our public nonprofit. So although they haven't chosen a place to push that money out yet, our public nonprofit sits on the front of all those donations. So they instantly get that tax write-off as a donor. So it sits there and we are in the process of partnering with some massive DAFs that are going to be sitting on the front end of our platform. And so that's the kind of the next step in evolution in our platform is, you know, that wallet is going to be an interest bearing DAF account through one of the major DAF platforms out there today.
Explain to the audience what DAF is.
DAF is a donor advised fund. So essentially what that means is if you're a public charity, essentially you have the ability to set up a donor advised fund. Most public charities don't know what they're doing. You know, honestly, on that level, it requires a lot of infrastructure and a lot of technical expertise to be able to deliver those. This is why the biggest DAFs out there are like Fidelity and like some other ones that are money market type of accounts, because they'll push the money into a money market account. In the money market account, what essentially it'll do, or in a DAF, it can be invested, which basically is it's like stable results. So essentially you think about like a guaranteed return of like a 4 or 5% or something like this.
Right. Yeah.
And so there's not at risk. You can actually, as a donor, you know, do a more risky type of advance. It's up to you, the donor, what they want to do. But what the reality is it's supposed to earn interest while it sits there. So essentially all that interest that's earning can go back out to the charity. Will, you don't actually get as big of a tax write-off as you would normally by just delivering the funds. But at the end of the year, DAFs are great because you can actually, since you take a huge write-off to offset your taxes, and then you can later distribute those funds and it can earn interest while it's sitting inside of that account to be distributed at a later date. So,
gotcha. No, I love that. Thank you for explaining. That's good. There's so much nuance in this space with payments and all these transactions and what have you. And you come from the for-profit side. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, yeah, the public sector, that's your background. Yes.
Yeah. No, I come from, I mean, I built payments technology for e-commerce and marketplaces. You know, that's my background. Yeah.
I love it. And I think what's really fascinating about that and what's happening in the nonprofit space is there's an injection of ideas and talent and almost an entrepreneurial, obviously, you know, element that's coming in because you wore the donor hat, as you said. You saw that there was a deficiency and you were, we call it removing friction. You know what I mean? You just want to make it, let's just make it easier for folks to give. It's kind of a statement with a follow-up question, Chase. And I think it's beautiful. I think it's awesome that folks like you are getting involved in the space. And I think it's cool. It makes things seamless and once again, transparent and obvious and all the above and educational all at the same time. How much of the giving process do you think, because I've heard you make mention to, you know, tax deductions and what have you, and with regard to charitable giving, how much of a factor do you think that really plays in people's psychology with giving?
10% of all charitable donations in the United States, 10% are all done the last 10 days of the year.
Gotcha. So okay, there you go.
It plays a big role.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, 10% of 100. So 2.6. The industry is worth $2.6 trillion a year, and 10% of that it's done on the last 10 days of the year. So, you know, if that doesn't say that where people's minds are at, yeah, I mean, of course, people are doing it because they want to help, but genuinely, people are also doing it because you know there's definitely tax advantages to giving. But that's why big huge family offices that segment a huge portion of that money to be giving back, you know, and because most of the DAFs out there, and you got to realize most of the DAFs, they do billions of dollars a year, billions. They have no idea what the impact is of any of those dollars. You know, the reality is there's no, and this is where we think the big opportunity is for us is because we actually can go to a DAF that has billions of dollars and say, hey, listen, we connect together, and then we can actually help those big, huge bundles of money understand what the impact they delivered. You know, and it's one thing to actually just give money away for a tax write-off and just have it be a tax write-off, but wouldn't it be better to actually understand that you actually made a difference, really, you know?
There's a very interesting dichotomy that's happening with the landscape of donors and generationally and the demos involved, where a succinct desire that donors have, especially in the younger generations, that they really, really, really do want to know where the money's going. More so, you know what I mean? More so than ever before. Probably because it's a very, very, we're living in that digital age, you know, the information's so easy to acquire, you know, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, if you think about it, nonprofits, and this is not saying, hey, it's just, this is the only industry in the United States that operates as the black box. You know, really nobody understands where the money is. I think which is even more problematic is, and it's like, yeah, you have some guy over here or some company over here that's raising money for XYZ, but like there's nobody that's actually saying, did you actually use all this money that you raised for blah, blah over here? And guess who got in trouble for that was a CVS. CVS, you know, every single, just like every Safeway, Kroger's and every other, you know, grocery store or market out there that's asking if you want a Roundup for children or whatever it is that they're raising money for, you would hope that there's some sort of verification process that
some accounting, just standard accounting. Yeah.
Right. Imagine if you're a CVS and you're a huge chain, right? And all of a sudden you have $800 million from Roundups. Nobody's looking at it. You know, it's like, I mean,
wow.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, they put their hand in the cookie jar, and that's not, and then they got a huge fine for that. But that all happens in past tense, right? What about right now? Like, who's out there that's actually managing this and actually looking at all these huge companies out there raising dollars for an organization that nobody's validating? And then they get the write-off for it, by the way. That company gets the write-off for it.
Because they're the conduit for the money. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And then you see a commercial that we donated $40 million to no, you didn't. Like all the you know the thousands of people that actually went and donated change that ended up making that $40 million is what donated it. And that actually is, that's what actually bothers me. And this is why we created what I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually love it. I have a very competitive streak. I'm an entrepreneur like you. so when you identify these discrepancies in markets, there's a part of you that like, okay, I want to get involved because I think we can, you know, break some windows, so to speak. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. And kind of rattle the cage, you know?
Yeah, there's so much opportunity for disruption. But I think this is a necessary, what we've done is, I think, the first step in what's going to be considered normal in the years ahead of us. Like, it's going to be expected 5-6 years from now, it's going to be expected that people understand where the money goes. I'm basically this one just disrupting the space first. That doesn't mean that 5 years from now, there won't be 20 other companies trying to compete with us. I'm sure there will be, you know, because, you know, we're just going to be first to market to do it.
You know? Good for you, man. That's really awesome. You said something, and yeah, hats off to you. And I think there has to be a disruptive mentality with any of these. You know, I still consider our company to be a startup, even though we've been around for you know, 7 years plus now and stuff like that. But we still have that kind of like, that I call it, for lack of a better term, like this, you know, chippiness about us, but it's all rooted in wanting to help. You know what I mean? It's all rooted in that mindset. But that's what gets us going every day. You know what I mean? Or at least for me, you know. So hats off to you for doing it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I feel like dollars to impact, the return on impact. What's the return on impact? You know, and there was a survey done by Candid that surveyed thousands of nonprofits, and you know, 76% of them all agreed that showing the return on impact was extremely important. Yet, less than 25% of them had any way to do it. And that was the second question: was like, well, how many of you can actually do this today? No, most of them can't. You know, and we're just basically making it easy for nonprofits to do this. I mean, instead of actually using these complicated systems, there's CRMs out there that tally all these things. But if you actually are keeping track of it in real time, you don't need to tally anything. You actually understand what the dollars of impact in seconds, you know, and so can the donors, which I think you solve that problem. Because I think here's the biggest thing, right? Imagine you're a huge nonprofit, and we were talking to the Utah Jazz, and Utah Jazz have this big nonprofit. They raised like $500 million for their cause last year. But you know, everyone's giving $5 at a time, right? That's a lot of transactions, right? So because people are giving it at the game and online when they're watching it on TV. Now, all of a sudden, that nonprofit can reach back out and say, hey, here's what we did with this money. Hey, look what we did. I would love to have you. We're going to run another drive here and blah, 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 blah. Instead of actually just sitting back and saying, hey, give me more money, actually being able to reach back out and say, hey, here, look at the impact that we did with the dollars that you came in, that came in. And by the way,
I love it. Well, there's some really awesome symmetry, man, to all this happening. You're talking about sharing what's happening in the story and all that. At the same time, simultaneously, that's the most important thing and the most impactful way that folks see the world these days is through storytelling, through the smartphone, YouTube, what have you. It's all, you know, you see what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, it's kind of like an aha moment, right? For all this, where that's how folks are connecting to giving, connecting to people, connecting to any story for that matter, right? But yeah, so there's a beautiful symmetry.
Yeah. That's the way that today is. It's like, you know, show me the money, you know, show me the impact, you know. Want to see it.
I think it's really cool. We talk to, like I've mentioned this, to nonprofits on a daily basis. We do these podcasts, we do a weekly webinar series, and we decided to give our best information away for free a number of years ago, and it worked out really, really well for us. And one thing that we're constantly, because we went through, you know, weekly webinars during COVID and, oh my goodness, how am I going to raise this money and this and that and the other thing. And that's fair. And those are real, you know, concerns and whatnot. Those aren't excuses to not get out and pick up the phone and make asks and raise money for nonprofits. Those aren't excuses, but that's real. And, you know, whatever, folks listen to the media, or they too much, or the wrong outlets, or, you know, what have you. But we constantly tell folks there's a tremendous amount of money in the system. Don't ever underestimate how much money there is in this system and the appetite that folks have to give. Do you have to find the right people? Absolutely. Do you have to tell your story the right way? Absolutely. Do you have to implore ideas like, you know, showing folks the return on impact? Absolutely. However, you mentioned a number, an annual giving number. Do you care to, would you mind repeating that, Chase, just so we can really, really send that point home even further about how much money there is in the system, how much giving is going on? Yeah.
I think, you know, there's three points to statistics. Number one, 2.6 trillion, right? That, and yes. Then number yes. two, it represents 10%, almost 6% of the U.S. GDP. 6% of the U.S. GDP is the giving charitable alone. Giving number. Yeah. And wow. then giving alone. And then if you think about just giving that's done through platforms like ours, like a crowdfunding platform, almost half a trillion dollars. Half a trillion wow. dollars that's is done so crazy. Through platforms like ours. Yeah. And so I think.
Yeah. Because we're constantly trying to get folks, you know, whatever you want to call it, whatever label you want to put on it, the law of abundance, or how big the world is, or how connected we are. That data is real. There's that much money in the system. There's that much giving going on. So hopefully that encourages folks when they hear numbers like that to get up and keep raising money for their mission, to keep spreading the story of what their organization is doing.
That's just US, you know?
So. Exactly. Yeah. Totally wild. Chase, do me a favor, man. Will you tell folks where they can find you, where they can find Wishes, how to get involved?
Yeah, you can find us at wishes.inc. You can download our app here. It'll be available for download here on the 15th November. So it's just like a couple weeks.
Good for you.
It will go on live in Apple Store. There will be also a desktop version as well. We have 1,000 of the big box retailers all inside of our shopping outlet, which is all available for any wishers, which could be done by nonprofits, charities, causes, crisis, whatever. And awesome. If you guys are looking to get in touch with us, 888-8-WISHES. And we're looking forward to boarding as many nonprofits that are looking to help raise money. We're walking them through how to get the most dollars from the most amount of people. And we are a donor agnostic. We're really donor first. So we really bring a lot of donors that you don't have access to today to the table, to your platform. Yep. And I think that's really the biggest reason why you'd want to use a platform like ours, is we really bring donors to you and spotlight your guys' charity and our platform. And we do that at no cost. So
I love that. I was going to say there's no barrier to entry, no cost and what have you. And it's awesome. You know, you just said exposure, you know, to your organization. A lot of folks, I just implore nonprofits, I think about it like you're building your own your own brand, not personal brand, pardon me, but you know, you're still a company. You still got to make payroll. You still got to expose folks to your brand, which is synonymous with your mission and the work that you're doing in your community or nationally or globally. So it's ever more becoming ever more important. Yeah. Thankful that there's organizations like yours that are helping. I think it's awesome. I love the story. I love the origin story. I can't thank you enough for sharing your time, Chase. Thanks so much.
Yeah. No, thank you. I appreciate the time.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. If you love our podcast, click the download button, rate us, and follow us on social media at HDA Fundraising. Get out there, start fundraising, and raise more money. See you next time.